World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, we were getting into it a little bit today before the show got started. For those of you just now tuning in, whether whatever platform it is you're watching us on, we have a pre-show and a post-show. And the only way that you ever get into the pre-show or the post-show is that you have to log on to CoachDaveLive.com. Go to YouTube, you don't get the pre-show or the post-show. Catch us on Facebook, whatever platforms we're on. Man, you're missing some good stuff. And I have to say yesterday, man, I got to know some of you folks a little bit more intimately yesterday in the post show, and it was gave me a greater understanding, not empathy, maybe. You know, we never know where our brother's walking, folks, nor do we know where he has walked. And what's that old saying? It's not biblical, but you never know a man until you walk a mile in his shoes, right? To think of some of the burdens that people were carrying, some of the past injuries and pains that have been done to them. To think they were able easily just to shake those things off. Wow. Tell me we need to, I see you can be saved and not healed, if you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Mark. Saved and not healed.
Amen, Coach. Amen. Saved and not converted. Saved and not healed. Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. So in the pre-show today, I'll pull up Romans 12, if you could, Spencer. I got some great stuff to talk about today. I got some stories to tell. It's going to be good. Romans chapter. We got talking about this before we got into the main show before we went live, and I just felt prompted. I said this in the pre-show, and I think I'm going to say it right now in the post-show. Okay, this is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. All right, it says this: I beseech ye, therefore, brothers. By the mercies of God, it's only through the mercy of God, by the way, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now let's work backwards on this, okay, a little bit. Service. What is service? Do you go to church? Do you pull out your Bible? Do you fall into whatever spiritual condition you find yourself in, and you look at it as service? Because the Bible says right there that it's your reasonable service. And reasonable being what? Obvious, expected. It's not, hey, if my wife says to me, after do it backwards, honey, would you please wash out your coffee cup when you're done? I think that's pretty reasonable. anybody disagree with that? That's my reasonable service. And so Paul says here that we're to present our bodies. Present our bodies. And he said, not only to do that, it's reasonable. Ain't nothing to ask you to do that. It's like washing the dishes. It's expected. But I saw this right here. To present your body a living sacrifice. And the question I asked before we went live, that I asked this: should a sacrifice cost you something? Should it cost you something? If it doesn't cost you something, is it a sacrifice? And I think about people that I watch go to church. I used to be one of them. Go to church and get engaged in this thing called praise and worship. Praise and worship. Big part of the church. In fact, worship bands, worship leaders. If you loved your wife or you loved your husband, how does your wife know that? Do I get out my harp? Do I run around my living room playing my harp? Dancing and twirling and waving flags and have my hands up in the air? No, I don't do that. In fact, if I did that, Michelle would probably call some exorcist or something. Say, what the heck's going on with you? No, it's not what I do. When I worship my wife, which I don't, when I honor my wife, I want to honor my wife through deeds. Not by playing music or singing to her. I got up this morning and hugged her and told her how much I love her and how much I appreciate her. But if I walk down the steps and I don't pick up my dirty underwear and my socks on the step, am I worshiping her? Am I honoring her? By the way, it says it's a reasonable service. And is going to church for an hour to hour a week and taking part in praise and worship. Really? That's it? Because you're presenting your body, a living sacrifice. Meaning what? You're laying down your life to go do those things for the Lord that's going to cost you something, friends. That's why it's called a sacrifice. That's why Jesus was called the perfect sacrifice. Of course, that had to do with bloodline, right? Perfect bloodline sacrifice. I just want all of you to think about this. Are you presenting your body every day when you get up? Are you presenting your body? Is it costing you something to serve the Lord? Because he said, don't bring me something that costs you nothing. I'm not going to ride a horse on this, but I think it's really, really critical. I think it's one of the great, great failings of the church, of Christianity, that we think praise and worship in the church is what the Lord's looking for. I don't think it is. I think we're really, really missing it. And most people, when you tell them on the way home after church, say, did you enjoy church? They say, oh, I felt the Lord during praise and worship. Oh, that praise and worship so lifted me. Well, that's good. Did the Lord know you were there? Did you bring any sacrifice to him? When it was all over, did the Lord feel you? Anybody got a comment on that? Go ahead, Randy. I don't know if the hands are working today. I see Randy. Oh, wait, let me get the... Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry.
Hey, Coach, I think the parable of the Good Samaritan is a perfect example of a sacrifice. You know, who did Jesus use? He used a Levite and a priest. Where were they going? They're probably going to the temple, going to church service.
Yep.
And which one made the sacrifice and which one did he say is the true neighbor? The other two were nothing.
Mm-hmm. And so the idea of sacrifice, folks, I believe is to be done outside the temple. Go ahead, Mark and Clay.
Yeah, sacrifice for whom? Sacrifice in whose name? So a lot of people sacrifice for their own benefit.
Yes, sir.
That don't count. If you're serving yourself, that's not service to others. So we're supposed to sacrifice service to ourselves for others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're taking care of the temple, you're studying, I mean, that's different, but then you got to go serve. That's the reasonable part of the service.
I exalt me. Right?
I.
Ray put that in the chat. I thought that was good, Ray. That's why I stole it from you. That's the truth, isn't it? Listen, hey, folks, listen, I'm not trying to beat up anybody here. I'm not trying to bang church. I'm just trying to open our eyes that we would see and understand. If you just personalize, if you just make yourself God, which is crazy, what would you want those who love you to do? What would you want them to do? Would you want them to stand in the room and play praise and worship music? Is that really what you want them to do? I don't think so. Come on, Clay. Then Tony. Go ahead, Clay.
Hey, Joseph. It's been on my heart a lot lately. Our country seems to be falling apart, and we need to be promoting the kingdom of heaven And so we only got 24 hours in a day. We got 365 days a year. So I work each day, but what's been on my heart is if I look at that calendar and I ask myself in a 24-hour period, besides prayer or a phone call, what did I do to try to promote the kingdom of God or save our country? Then the sands keep falling through the hourglass, and the days keep passing. And if you, I tell all of you right now, if you'll put a calendar in front of you and mark off on that calendar something that you did besides pray or make a phone call or maybe put a meme up on Facebook, you'll be surprised how many blank days there is on the calendar.
That's right, brother. That's right, brother. Hey, by the way, we've got 80 in here. Spencer, Jared, I don't know if people – I know we get more than 80 in. I'm afraid – I don't know if people are trying to get in here or not. Sorry. Tony, come on in, then Rochelle.
Hey, Coach. I missed yesterday's show, but when I was
watching – Shame on you.
When I was watching it afterwards, something came to me that joining the military is like getting saved. what happens is you sign your name and you take an oath. Okay. It's like asking Jesus into your life. What's the first thing they do? They cut off your hair because you have to leave your old life.
Yes, sir.
And they make everyone equal. Okay.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And they teach you, not to fear. They teach you to have unity. You lay down your life.
Jesus
said a man who can lay down his life for his brother, no greater love than that, you know?
Yes,
and
sir.
It just, when it hit me, it was like, whoa, my days at boot camp, you know, it's like, wow, I can actually see the Lord in it. You know?
Yeah. So Tony, so listen, what a word, Tony. Thank you. And so that's why I got to say this, and I hope maybe it's self-serving. Okay. But I just got to be honest with you. That's what I did my whole life as a coach. I crushed the individual. You understand what I'm saying? And today, as I move out into the culture and try to help raise up a team, a body of Christ, a kingdom focused team, people don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to. They don't want to shave their heads. They don't want their lives regimented. They want to be able to continue to live their life the way they've always lived their lives and expect to be more effective. It doesn't work that way, friends. It doesn't work that way. Rochelle, come on in here a second.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yeah, genuine worship is always going to result in submission and obedience to Jesus. I just want to read real quickly 1 Corinthians 14:26. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize what I am saying. When you meet, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in an unknown language while another will interpret what is said.
Man.
But everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. So... Everything done in some type of corporate worship has got to be beneficial to the members, and it's got to be in harmony and in an order. It's totally out of balance in our churches right now.
Well, the whole structure, without going too far, Rochelle, the whole structure, folks, listen, I love men of God, as Matt Tuella calls them, churchmen. I honor any man who's a pastor who starts a church. Listen, folks, I got to tell you something. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Check it out. And can somebody tell me how the pastor became the head of the church? Can somebody explain that to me? And that right now, that's where most people go to serve the Lord. They want to go be a pastor. And then the pastor takes over and controls everything. Pastor-driven churches are not healthy. Not healthy for the pastor. Why would we put that burden on anybody? I just think I had an unbelievable interview yesterday with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She had me on her show last night for about about 40 minutes, I think it was. Oh, my God, did it rock. But you know what I realized? You know what makes this show effective? It's not me for 45 minutes. Sometimes it is, because I'm the pastor. I'm the host. But it's not me. It's Rochelle for 5 minutes and Larry for 2 minutes and Jeff for 10 minutes or 2 minutes or Jim, right? It's the multitude of this thing we're doing here. And you can search, wherever you want to, folks. You don't find it like this. Most of the programs that we watch are programs we watch. Somebody else talking to us. And I don't care who you are. Can I tell you? Oh, man, bear with me here a second, okay? I got to show you, and I'm going to make a point to you, okay? I'm going to make a point. Pull up, it says truck, Spencer. Pull that up there for me real quickly. So yesterday after watching the show, I was unbelievably convicted by our own show. And we were talking about fear yesterday. We've been talking about fear and facing the fear and moving forward. And I have this unbelievable phobia of fixing things. I can't fix things. I should stop saying that. I can't fix things. That's the last time I'm going to say that. If a car breaks down, somebody steals my catalytic converter, tire goes flat, I'm pretty much worthless, to be honest with you. Have been. And so the last 3 days, I have two vehicles, our van, our Suburban, and our truck that was given to us gratefully by Steve Deck. Neither one of them would work. I jumped them. I did whatever. And so I just been burdened by it because I thought, well, who's going to bail me out here? Who's going to bail me out? What guy out there that can fix trucks going to come fix my truck? Who's going to do it, right? Who's going to do it? And I woke up yesterday morning. I did the show. My wife chastised me a little bit. God bless my wife. She said, when are you going to get those trucks fixed in a nice way? And you know, my response was, I can't do it. I don't know. I'll call AAA. I'll let them come and fix it. Watch here, folks. This is about 2 hours later, 6 seconds of video, one of the proudest moments of my life because Irons is inspired from my own show. Go ahead. Play it, Spence.
Michelle, I did it. The truck works.
I did it. Right? I stopped talking about it. I stopped praying about it. I stopped saying, who's going to come and help me? I said, Lord, show me how to do it. You know what I did? I took the phone. I went and I took a picture of this battery. I took a picture of this battery. So I saw where all the connections were. I took it apart. I took them out of the truck. I went down to the auto parts store. I carried them in. They gave me a new part. Two new batteries. I'm walking out. I said to the guy, hey, can you help me out with something else? I said, my Suburban doesn't start. I said, I tried to start and I can't, I can't get it to run. I said, it's got juice, but won't run. I hate these guys who fix things, right? Because he just looks at me and kind of dumb. And he says, well, sir, are you sure your terminals are tight? I wanted to hit him. I go home and fix the truck, put the batteries in, it cranks. I walk in, get on the other car that won't start. First thing I check is the terminals. The terminals are loose. I tighten the terminals. Both cars running. I dance all
morning. Amen, Coach. Huh? I love you, Coach. Amen.
Now, take that and apply that to your life. How many things in your life are you totally and completely helpless over because you don't know how to do it? You want somebody else to do it for you. You have a fear and a phobia that you won't take it on. And so I thought, Lord, I thought yesterday, Coach, you are the biggest stinking hypocrite. Just go do it, will you? Just go do it. Can you screw it?
I love it.
Can you screw it up any more than it is right now? That truck sits there and it doesn't run. So you take out the batteries. And it still doesn't run. And then maybe you call somebody and they come and fix it. Steve, I did it, man. I did it. And why did I do it? I did it because I was inspired by you guys. I was inspired by the words of my own mouth. And I was inspired by the unbelievable testimonies that I'm getting every day from those of you out there who are getting victory over little things in your life. Anybody want to testify today? Go ahead, Silver, you're up. Go ahead, man.
Everybody watch out. Coach is dangerous now.
Yes, sir. Come. Hey, look at this. I got grease under my fingernails.
Coach, I understand exactly what you're talking about when it comes to fixing things. Okay, there are some things that, you know, I had a birdhouse or bird feeder wire break. And I have everything I needed to put it back together. But I said, just get me some wire. And she brought me solid wire and a little thing I decorate with. But I got it back up. I don't know how long it's going to last because it's solid. You know, first squirrel hits, it'll knock it down or something. But you just, you know, you try and figure out. It's like this is how you also try and figure out what the Lord's doing. And amen. And you try and you pray, Lord, what is this about? And it gives you an answer.
That's right. Show me what to do here, Lord. Show me what to do, Lord. I want to do this. Show me what to do. All right? Come on, man. Come on. And I had something on my heart I wanted to say, and I forgot exactly what it was. Got a bunch of you wanting to get in here. Jump in here. Tony, did you want to come in again, or did you not take your hand down? Let's go to Ray LeBlanc while Tony, you figure out if you're in or out there. Go ahead, Ray. Ray, then Craig, then Neil.
Yeah. Back to what you were talking about a minute ago, Coach. Sunday mornings, we have a little get together for worship service. Basically, after we just put on YouTube and find some great worship music, and then listen to Pastor Matt Torella's sermons. The good thing about it is he goes 5-10 minutes into a sermon. And he brings out something powerful that people really bite into. And they, I want to talk about this. And we just put it on pause and we'll talk for 20 minutes.
Yes! And
that's what we're doing. And it works out great. People love it because they're engaged.
Yes, sir. They're engaged, man. They get it. Their opinion matters, right? Their opinion matters. Come on in, Craig, then Neil, then Larry.
Well, Coach, a good analogy is just like your suburban battery. If you're not tightly ground to the Lord, right?
Amen. Amen.
You're not going to go anywhere. You're just going to be walking around your suburban to and fro.
Yes, sir, baby. So listen, hey, how about this one, Craig? I got that sucker running. I'm so proud. I drove it and got through the car wash. And all it was getting grounded. Just wasn't grounded. Come on in, Neil.
Yeah, there we go. I just wanted to say that's where we need to encourage each other. I know my wife and I are getting some chickens, and we were looking at buying a chicken. And I says, you know, I'm handy enough. I can build a chicken coop. And right now that thing is so heavy duty. I don't want to offend Chad at all, but that thing is so heavy duty. I think if we get a tornado warning, I'm going to be shaking the chickens out, and I'm going to crawl in that thing if the tornado comes. But It all comes down to encouraging each other. I can't tell you how many things that I said that I can't do, and someone just says, well, just give it a try. You can do it. And that's what we need to do in our faith. We have to encourage, empower, and encourage.
Amen, brother. Amen. I'm telling you, I couldn't agree more. Larry than Rochelle.
Yeah, you know, I've always been a pretty good fix-it-up person and everything my whole life, construction, the whole works, auto mechanics. But here lately, as I get older, when I had a water line break under the house, I made the decision, man, I'm too old to get under there and crawl in that wet, dirty mud that's down there now because of the water spilling out. Mm-hmm. I says, let me hire somebody to go down and fix that thing. So I paid this guy $200 to go fix that thing. He didn't go himself. He sent his helper, spent 10 minutes, came up and said, I'll fix, and charged me $200.
There you go, dude.
Now, 5 minutes later, 5 minutes after he left, the line popped off and broke again. So I called him back. Oh, well, my helper's busy. He's got a dinner engagement he's going to. I said, he's got an engagement under my house he's going to. I says, you know, you've charged me $200 to fix it, and it's not fixed, and I can't take a shower, I can't do my dishes, and can't flush the toilets without getting a bucket of water from the lake and pouring it in my toilet.
Amen.
I said, send him. So he sent him over 10 more minutes. And he said, oh, it's fixed this time. He said, but don't turn the water on until in the morning. Give that glue a chance to dry.
Oh.
So I went in there in the morning with no water. Turned it on. Pop, it popped off. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, get under there and fix it yourself. So I did.
And demands your $200 back, right? Demands your $200 back. I'm with you. Hey, Mark Trump just said, put something in the chat. That's so true, man. We all need our terminals cleaned, don't we? Huh? We need our terminals cleaned. We need our batteries charged. We need our terminals cleaned and our batteries charged. And that's not going to happen for somebody during praise and worship. I don't think. Maybe it will. Rochelle, come on in.
You know, seeing
Stephanie, you're next. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Sure. Seeing our shortcomings in this way, it bleeds into so many areas of our lives. And me and my husband have been struggling for a while, and I kind of gave up for a long time, and just, you know, we've just been existing, and I've been praying about that. And one very simple thought that God gave me was, you know, just go out of your way to do something nice and let him know you did it. And so I did that. He's got this big grill area, and it's just a total mess and grease and disgusting. And I cleaned the whole thing, and it's gorgeous and beautiful. And he really appreciated that. And, you know, I'm sure he'll do something nice for me now. And who knows if this is a road to recovery or not, but you can find victories in every part of your life just by taking little steps. And Coach, this is such an encouragement to so many people. And the people in the chat, you guys are so funny. Oh my gosh.
I can't read the chatter. I lose track of the show, right? But I did see that Betty just put in there and said, encourage. It's courage to put courage into someone when you encourage them, right? Encourage one another in the Lord. Put courage into them. Stephanie, come on in. Then we'll get James and Mark Trump in there. Go ahead.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, yeah, I even found a Jesus in that chicken coop. I bought a kit. I raised chickens, and then I got it in my head with all this that I needed to raise some meat birds. And so I got 30 more chickens, and I'm like, oh, crap, I need a coop. So I bought a coop and got it in my head. I'll just, you know, have my boys help me or get, I call them man moments, that I just physically don't know how. I can do a lot, but I just don't do carpentry. Well, it kept falling through. And I was kind of getting mad at everybody else for not being able to help me. And I'm like, Lord, and I call it wee man syndrome, you know, because I want to do it myself and I can't. And I start stomping around. And I prayed, Lord, just help me. Like, you can help me. Where does this go? I thought I could do it, you know, watch some videos. Oh, everything should be lettered and numbered. You can do it. Well, nothing was lettered or numbered. So when I opened the box, it's like, all right, you get these little instructions. I don't know how to do this stuff. And I literally turned off the radio. Didn't listen to anything, listened to the birds and in the springtime, you know, outside, and prayed. And I got that thing together faster all by myself, talking to Jesus the whole time. Amen.
Amen. Hey, sir, listen, Stephanie, what's going on with you and Holly today? People want to tune in. What's going on there?
Oh, at 1 p.m. today, last week, we were, she's on Fringe Radio Network, where she interviews people. And does her own videos. And we're doing a part two today where I'm going to go talk about my near-death experience and talk more a little bit about spiritual warfare and just how to be more aware of things and how to pray against that a little bit. And part two from last week kind of just talked about me a little bit and my history from the whole witchcraft that I came out of and how I fell into it through the word Nephilim.
So where do
FringeRadioNetwork.com.
FringeRadioNetwork.com. At what time are you going to be on?
That's 1 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time. It'll say Holly Baglio interview with Stephanie College on FringeRadioNetwork.com. And if I'm wrong, then Holly, if she's in here, she can say something. But I'm 99.99% sure that was the right to give.
Awesome. Encourage one another.
Thank you. Amen. One another, strong, right? Courageous, everybody. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Come on in, Jim. And Mark.
Hey, two things, Coach. I want to say amen to Stephanie's comment. Sometimes I'll just go out on my deck and just watch the birds and listen to nature and enjoy the weather. Kind of clears the head. And then as far as sacrifice, I'm in a cross-reference study right now of Leviticus. Mm-hmm. And the phrase that stands out is without blemish.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, Jim. God bless you, man. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, I wanted to tie together what Rochelle's doing with what Clay talked about. I take it a step further when I counsel folks. You take and write down your 24 hours, and you determine how much you're devoting to Christ. But then you look at the rest of your time. And what Rochelle did is she put some time doing something else that maybe she was dedicating to a bad habit. And if you go through your life and you replace bad habits with Jesus habits, all right, serving yeah. Jesus, asking yeah. to pray and all that.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
you do that like Clay, you write it down, you realize where your time goes, how much time can you benefit Christ if you do that? How much more can you sacrifice the flesh?
Amen. That's right, man. It's about getting victory. Hey, folks, listen, can I brag? I'm proud. This is an unbelievable accomplishment. This is day number 8, not one piece of candy. I haven't had a piece of candy in 8 days. You say, well, that's no big deal. Folks, I'm telling you, it's victory. It's getting victory. It's not.
What did you replace it with?
Nothing.
What did you replace your candy with?
My willpower.
Okay. So that's an option. That's an option. But let's say you're doing porn. You yep. might want to replace that with Bible reading, right?
Something else, or get a hammer and bust a computer. By the way, I've already written tomorrow's word. You may not want to tune in tomorrow because I'm going to dive in on this. Hey, boys and girls, we got to get victory over porn. Got to get victory over porn. Some of you in here, you got to get victory over it. There is victory. We got to get victory over it. It's like drinking a bottle of scotch. Every time you put that bottle to your mouth, you think you suck out of it, but it sucks out of you, man. Well, it's sucking the strength right out of the American Christian male. I'm going to talk a little bit about. I don't know why I brought that up, other than I was prompted to bring that up. Right? Hey, listen. Do you have any idea how hard it is to stop eating candy? Do you understand? I got grandkids running around my house all the time asking for Grampy pills, which is candy. You understand I have to go over and put my hand in that candy dish and pull it out and hand it to my grandson and not put one of them in my mouth. You say, well, that's no big. It's a big victory. It's a big victory because now I'm in control of what I put in my mouth, not my carnal nature. Right. And it can apply to every area of your life. I don't care what I fixed a freaking truck yesterday. Right. Didn't think I could do that. So how many other things are there in your spirit? Not your natural walk, but your spiritual walk that you have been dependent on others to do. Huh? Yeah. When you can do it yourself. Not only can you do it yourself, but boys and girls, you don't have ownership of it till you can do it yourself. That's why I want Russ Dizdard, Tom Dunn. That's why I want them to come and do this spiritual warfare training. I want to learn to do it. I don't want to have to call Tom Dunn. I don't want to have to call Russ. I don't have to call them. I want to be able to do it myself. I don't want to have to call Mark Trump to come and show me how to fix my tractor. I want to do it myself. I don't want to have to call. I don't want to have to go pay Tom Gill to teach me to train my body. I want to learn to do it myself. You understand what I'm saying, folks? That's what real freedom and real liberty is. That's victory over that carnal man. Alan Zeif, are you trying to get in here, Alan? Come on in. Maybe not. Your microphone's open, Alan. That's all I'm saying. Your microphone's open. Come on in. I'm trying to do it in order here. James, your hand's still up, brother. I didn't know if you went in there. Jim Bruner, your hand's still up. Tim, Naomi.
Hey, thanks, Coach. I wanted to go ahead and say, in retrospect of what we've been doing this last several days and talking, revealing things about ourselves and what we're not doing. I've been quiet because I've been introspecting about doing inner work, but I wanted to speak today in regards to what we see. Your subject today was excellent in regards for praise and worship and how we treat our wives. Do we treat her the same way, or do we do things for her? And I want to, Rochelle brought up a good point. And one thing that I do on a regular basis, and not all the time, you got to have a balance on this, and that is I look at what I don't like in people. And what happens then is as that's God speaking to me. If it's what you, if you would notice something that you don't like in a person, it may be in your own life. Yeah. And so I look at that and say, God, you're exposing me to what I've held hidden to myself. And what I like in people is because I have it in my own life. That activity in a balanced way brings us to what God wants us to do in regards to relationship with others and relationship to him. So when I don't like the praise music in church, I hate it. It's because I am, it brings up, okay, Tim, what are you doing to do what you need to do to do the work that God wants you to do? So I encourage and invite everybody else to do that as well.
Amen. Hey folks, listen, when this stuff should be convicting. Let me give you a real good lesson in life, okay? Then I'm going to get Craig in here, then Neil. Let me give you a really good lesson in life. It took me a while to understand the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not careful when you're dealing with personal assessment or anything like that, you hear a lot of voices. I always tell, you know, I use the phrase, when you hear the first voice, obey it. Because the second voice immediately comes. The Lord asks you to do something, there will immediately become a voice saying, nah, don't do that. And I learned this, the difference between conviction and condemnation. Are you ready? You ready? When the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible tells us this, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Condemnation is this: you're no good, you fool, why did you do that? When condemnation comes, you feel worse. You feel pounded down. And a lot of times that will come from another person. You may be going through a situation and somebody calls you or somebody, and all they do is boom, 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 hammer you down. Folks, that is condemnation. That's not from the Lord. The Holy Spirit always brings conviction. And the conviction, the voice of the Holy Spirit never comes, you dummy, in there looking at porn again. Is that what you're doing? And you go in there and you have that big show and here you're sneaking. That's condemnation. Conviction is this. You go in there and you sit down in front of that computer and the Holy Spirit says, you really want to do that? Come on, man. Get up and walk away from that. You're better than that. Conviction comes in an encouraging way, telling you that you are more than a conqueror. Condemnation comes and tells you, you can never do it. You will never get it right. You'll never stack up. You'll never be good enough. And conviction says, come on, man. Come on, man. We can do this. Get up. Come on. Let's walk together on this. We can do it. And if you cannot recognize in your own walk the difference in those two voices, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. That's why the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and that other voice they won't hear. When somebody brings you, when somebody comes and they bring you words of bang, 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 you know that's not of the Lord. It's not of the Lord. But if they come and they convict you in an uplifting way, you're better than that. Hey, you're better than that. Hey, Coach Dave, you can fix that truck. Quit calling yourself a dummy. Go out there. You can fix that truck. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not the condemnation of your mechanic when you take it to him. You understand the difference in the two? Folks, you got to get that right. We don't get that right. It's going to be a long, hard walk because the Holy Spirit is always there to encourage you. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells us there's no condemnation. If you're in Christ Jesus, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. He ain't gonna beat on you. Come on, I just changed subject, which changes our list. Craig, come on then to Neil.
Hey, Coach, just something for people to ponder. And as you develop your show tomorrow, your mind, your brain is your hard drive. You remember things when your brain is formed in your womb. You can hear things and do things. You don't parse them yet because you can't put them together, but they're in your mind. So let me just give you a quick example. My wife used to work in the Alzheimer's unit. Alzheimer's unit, people can't, they have no short-term recall of the last years, but they go back 40 years or 50 years, and they live in that time. Mm-hmm. What that tells you is, like, right now, you can't remember all the things that you did in 40 years old, but it's in the back of your brain. It's stored. So these images of pornography or anything that you put in front of your eyes are stored in your brain. And now that your brain is the devil's playground. He has access to that information, and he can throw it up, and he fights you in your mind. Mm-hmm. That's why, as you were getting into Romans 12, it says, be transformed by the renewing Amen. Of your mind.
Yes, sir.
So this is really important for people to think about as you put your show together tomorrow, about your mind, the devil's playground, and what you want to put in front of it, because you are giving him keys. When you Amen. Put wrong things in your mind, you're basically giving him the hammer to hit you on.
Well, Craig, not even worse than that. See how the abundance of the heart to mouth speaks, right? Every time you open your mouth, you're giving the devil a clue, folks. Every time the devil doesn't know what you think until you say it. And that's nothing more than reinforcement to him. When you speak words of condemnation, that's just reinforcement to the devil that you heard it. When I get nasty emails here, I don't respond to them. I just let them worry, wonder if I even got it. I never respond to it, right? I don't need to. Come on in, Neil. Good word there, Craig.
Yeah. In my travels daily, I see people on the side of the road with a flat tire or whatever, and I'll see what looks to be a perfectly able-bodied 30-year-old man, 40-year-old man, standing and watching a service repair company changing a tire on their car. And I think to myself, my heart kind of sinks. I'm like, didn't their dad show them how to change the tire on a car?
Yeah.
Didn't a neighbor, didn't they ask anyone? That's the same way with our spiritual walk. If we, like in this queue here, in this group, we don't step up and take the initiative to find out what this person knows, we're just as bad as a father who doesn't teach his son or daughter, whatever, my daughter can change a tire. We're just as bad as those people that don't teach their children how to change a tire. That walks so hand in hand with our daily experiences in life. So that's our job, is to explain to people.
Neil, the even worse part of it for me is this. I drive by that and see that guy with that flat tire, and I say, Lord, should I stop and help him? Right? And then keep on going. That's what most of us do. Lord, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Kevin Van Story wants to try to get in here. Go ahead, Kevin. I'll get you in here. Tony and Clay, stay with me a second. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I was just going to say if you can, you can't. And if you can't, you can. It's what you've got in your mind that's going to allow you to succeed or not. Just like, if you tell yourself I can't, well, you're not going to do it. If you tell yourself you can, you might fail a few times, but you will.
If you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. Very simple. Very simple. As a man thinketh in his heart. Come on in, Clay, and then Tony.
Yeah, Coach, something to think about. We got these cameras and these microphones on all these computers and phones, and we hope that these things are not listening and watching us 24 hours a day when we don't want them on. But God's looking at us 24 hours a day, and we got to remind ourselves of that, because we can hide from everybody else, but what would we do with our time, and what would we look at, and what would we say and do if the God camera and microphone's on you 24 hours a day?
Yeah.
And we got to remember that.
Or Neil, or Clay, how about the fact that God's driving by in his semi, wondering, didn't anybody teach that boy how to pray? Didn't anybody show him anything? You mean he's been in church his whole life and he didn't learn how to do that? By the way, Spencer, I'm going to give you an A. Can you guys see what they just threw up on the screen? Was that Spencer or is that Jared? Somebody gets an A. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're probably right. How did you find that? That was masterful, by the way. I said it before I read it, so just so we keep you all in line. Tony, you've been waiting. Go ahead, and then Tim and Naomi. Hey, this listen, daggone it, this show is supposed to be about me. I'm supposed to be doing all the talking. What the hell are you guys doing getting in there, taking my time? Now, some of you mad because I said hell. It's in the Bible, isn't it? Many times. Come on in, Tony. Tim.
Okay, when you're talking about your fixing your cars, what I can relate to that is, as you know, from what I told you before, I had ADD all my life. I couldn't read and comprehend. And then when I forgave my mother, that curse broke, and I could read and comprehend. And when the churches, see, I was used to being spoon-fed.
Yes.
And when the churches closed down, it was like, Lord, what are we going to do now? And the Lord said, well, I healed your ADD. Well, you're going to be the family pastor. Who, me? Yeah, you. You know, and the thing is, it's like, okay, Lord, you know, the Lord says, well, you criticize what's being preached all the time. It's your turn. Let's see what you can do.
And tighten those lug nuts, Tony. Tighten those lug nuts, baby.
And so I, you know, I put my hands to the plow, and I plowed straight. I taught on what is a name, and I got into how you act. Will, how would you say, protect? In other words, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. He came to represent the Father. And when we're a Christian, we're representing Christ. Now, are you bringing shame to the name of Christ, or are you bringing honor to the name of Christ? And it was like, wow, I preach that? You know,
That's right.
And it was such a victory that I've been doing it ever since. And I tell you what, the word of God has opened up to me in such an incredible way. And I've been learning. I've been like relearning everything I was taught. I was seeing what is truth and what is denominational truth. And I tell you, it's a big difference.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. How about this one? Hey, Steve Deck, I think I'm going to go open my own truck repair shop now, baby. Huh? And so the point Tony is making, until you begin to exercise that gift, you don't know whether you have that gift or not. That's the point that he's making. And for those of you who sit around and say, Coach, I'd like to start a huddle. I'd like to start my own, but I don't have the gift to do it. Just ask a question. Just start out in your group and ask a question and allow the people in the group to be able to expand and grow in their own walk. Quit going to church or wherever and allowing others to spoon feed you. Stop it already. Grow up. Learn to dig out the nuggets yourself simply by asking questions, because the Holy Spirit says, and he's going to guide you into all truth. That's what he says. It's either the truth or it's not the truth. Doesn't say your pastor's going to do it. He's going to guide you. No, the Holy Spirit. Just sit down and say, Lord, show me how to change that battery. Lord, please show me how to do it. And you know what I found out? The Lord's a mechanic. He showed me how to do it. Come on in, Tim or Naomi. I guess it's Naomi. Come on in.
Hey, amen, Coach. The one thing I came to my mind, how many times did it take Thomas Edison to come up with the perfect light bulb? Yeah. And he did not look at those as failures. He looked at those as learning experiences.
Yep. He said they asked him that question, whether or not, or how many times he had to fail. He said, I didn't look at it that way. He said, I saw 50 ways that didn't work. He said, I learned 50 ways that didn't work.
Exactly.
It's never a failure, right? It's never a failure. Man, I mean, Craig, do you want to jump back in, or did you forget to take your hand down, dude? I think he forgot to take his hand. I got to show you this. Spencer, put up a cross. It just says cross. It's an email, says cross. I got this in the mail today. Yesterday, I'm about ready. This computer is causing me frustration. Let me get see it. There, it's spinning. There's a picture. I don't know if you guys can see this or not. No, got a lot of pictures here, a lot of things, a lot of things. Come on. Y'all, go back there. Yoko, whatever it is. He sent this to me today. It came today. And it's about, I should know probably if I looked at it, probably 2 feet by 2 feet. It's brass, it's heavy, it's shiny, it's beautiful. I'm afraid to hang it on my wall because it's sharp. If it falls off the wall, it may impale me. So I was kind of concerned about that. But maybe you can, if you can, there's some, hate to call this free advertising, throw that website back up there. My computer's frozen up on me. There it is. Yoko Cup Custom Copper. And he just sent it to me. He just sent it to me. So if some of you are looking for a gift for somebody, really, really high quality. Look at that, $1,900. What? Oh, yeah, man, I'm telling you, man, high quality stuff. So God bless you, brother. Thank you for sending me that, and we'll find a place to put it on our wall where it won't fall and kill somebody. There it is,
$199. Wow, that's beautiful.
Hey, Coach, can I make a comment about that cross?
Yeah.
It looks like a weapon, and maybe that's how we should think of the cross of Christ.
Brother, let me tell you, I could amen. Impale somebody with it for sure.
Amen.
So anyway, I just want to say God bless you. Thanks for thinking on me enough to load that thing up and ship it to us. And it's beautiful, man. Help me out. My computer's froze. There he is. There he is. Italian Scott Yoko. I think it's Yoko. Yoko is a Renaissance man who designs our winning hearts among curators of fine furnishings. So Scott makes these things and he sent one to me. So Scott, I see it as a labor of love, brother. And I appreciate it more than you know. He must listen because I don't know where else he would. God bless. Whatever, man. Whatever. What is wrong with my computer here? What's going on here? Somebody rescue me. Oh, okay. James, Jim Bruner. Come on in, Jim, then Rochelle. I didn't get to anything today I was going to do.
Sorry, Coach. Forgot to lower my hand.
Okay, go ahead, Rochelle.
I just wanted to say real quick that Holly and Stephanie's show on Fringe Radio Network, if you can't catch it, you know, at 1 o'clock, you can iTunes it. It's a podcast, so you can listen to it at work or anything like that. Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you. I'm going to do that. Hey, by the way, Holly and Stephanie, if you can, send that link around and we'll share with others so others can get an opportunity to experience. I had a lot of great stuff I was going to talk about. I'm stalling now, okay? Because I had a whole great thing planned today on iniquity and workers of iniquity and what iniquity is and how I'm not going to open that can of worms today because I don't want to get into it. We'll save it and jump into something tomorrow. So I got an open forum here. 8 minutes of open forum. Rochelle, did you want to say something or did you forget to take your hand down? She forgot to take her hand down. Somebody, anybody jump in. Craig, okay, Craig's back in. Come on, Craig.
Well, if you want, Silver could talk about this or I could talk about it a little bit. Is as we're approaching the Passover, okay, which is going to be this Saturday, the 14th of Nisan. Okay, that's actually the Exodus. And then, of course, Jesus was in the ground for 3 days, which puts us into next Tuesday, which is the 17th of Nisan. So these are the actual days. Of course, what happened with the Roman Catholic Church is they changed the times and the seasons, and they made it into a certain Sunday on the second Sunday of the
40
month.
Days after yep second yep right. 40 days so, following this yep
right so just, oh, just well, let just, people know that you know the actual time you know if we're going to parallel history all right is the Exodus actually occurred starting this Saturday.
Joe, I'm sure Silver, this is up your alley, brother. I know this is close to your heart, so come on in here.
Well, the Exodus is actually the next day, what we would call the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Passover is Saturday night into Sunday night. And then, because they weren't allowed to leave until their homes until the sunrise. Okay. So they're leaving on the 14th. And everybody in Egypt's giving them all their jewelry and gold and money and whatever, get out of town. And they said, okay. You know, and it didn't take them long to figure out, we need to go back there. I mean, golly. I mean, because they realized they really didn't have that much food and stuff with them when they left. But they had enough to get them to the Red Sea and across the Red Sea. And so it was an amazing time of God's action in the world, and which blew me away all the time when I study this and see what he did and for the people of Israel. So it's a very special time. I invite everybody to celebrate it. Okay. One way or another, you don't have to do an actual Seder or any of that kind of thing. If you don't want to, you're uncomfortable with it, don't worry about it. Okay. But study it, look up Christian Passovers and how they're handled and how they're done. I was going to run in the after show an actual Seder video. Okay. It actually runs an hour. I was going to do it for, you know, half of it and then half of it. So people don't get totally bored to death. This from Monte Judah, a brother up in Oklahoma. And he has a ministry called Lion Lamb Ministries, which I've been a part of for years. And but I know it'll bless you if you can stick around to do it. I usually let everybody get out what they got to get out after the show before I ever bring any of this stuff up. But
See, folks, one of the great thanks, Job. Let me just kind of wrap this up here. One of the things that I think is unbelievably unique about what we do here is, man, there's all kinds of different theologies in here, all kinds of different doctrines in here. And we would all have to admit, if we were to admit it, we are all prisoners of our spiritual upbringing. All of us are. And many of us have been programmed at a very, very young age about certain truths that really maybe aren't true, or at least not in the sense that we were taught that they were. And it reaches a point in us, in many of us, where it becomes, again, that we talked about cognitive dissonance. And cognitive dissonance is nothing more than this: refusing to believe something isn't true when you've been taught your whole life that it is. That's a difficult place for us to be. And the truth of it is, within this huddle right now, 100 of us in the queue, and who knows how many thousands that are watching, many of us are trapped in religious dogma and religious tradition that we've been programmed in from the time we were very young children. And the difficulty is to come into a forum like this and not go to war over your particular doctrine. We've been doing this for over 5.5 years, and I can, well, not 5.5, but over 5 years, and I can count on one or two hands the number of times that we've had a real rough disagreement on a theological position, because it's not worth going to war over unless it is an essential truth. So I want you always to know that when you come here, I'll never forget one of my assistant coaches, Mike Wilson, back years and years ago, when I quit coaching at London High School, and when I was walking out the door, I'll never forget, Mike came up to me and he said, you know, coach, he said, he coached for me for, you know, 8 years. And he said, you know, coach, I have to be honest with you. I never agreed with everything you did. And he said, the thing that I respected most about you was my 2 cents was always worth 2 cents. And I think that's the type of grace that we need to have, because we are all prisoners of whoever put those 2 cents in us. And to be able to walk away from what has always been a deeply held truth or belief is a very, very difficult thing for us to do. Now, not always. Because they can program you that a man can be a woman, and we don't have trouble walking away from that, right? Right? But when we get down to theological issues, we argue more over non-essential things that really we don't know the truth about. So in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. I love coming here every day. You maybe know where I feel on specific issues, and I probably know where you stand on specific issues. But hey, in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty. That's the way I see it. That's why this is one of the remarkable programs on all the internet. Sorry that millions aren't. I suppose if millions were watching, we would lose this intimate contact that we have all have with each other. So remember this, when you come here, your 2 cents is always worth 2 cents. God bless you. See you tomorrow.